Shalom and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my very gifted wife and Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford. Let's ask God for his blessing on tonight's program and also on you, our listeners. Abba, Father, Holy God of Israel, you who gave us your only Son, our Messiah, we use the power of his name against any evil forces around your servants that control the unrighteous. May the light of your word guide us in all areas of our being, so that we will know when to speak boldly, but also when to pray silently. Protect our young ones from secular brainwashing and all predators. Help us to be very observant of our surroundings, making us easily aware of those who do not know you, so to offer them the gospel. We pray for our loved ones that they know you personally and also passionately. We lift up to you all our listeners' health issues, the Christian flood victims in Louisiana, and for these recent prayer requests that we now hold in our hands. Bless tonight's study, and until you come again, we honor and glorify you alone. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear. And Baruch Hashem Adonai, bless the name of the Lord. Well, we have not covered the news in a few weeks, so let's mention some things not fully told on the liberal media. Then we'll begin talking about the season called Teshuvah for the next couple weeks. Teshuvah starts on the next new moon of September 3rd at sundown. It's a yearly warning season to repent and always occurs the month before the fall feasts. And this year, I can say pretty emphatically, I think we're going to see some big warnings on a larger scale of what we even are already seeing.
Yes, indeed. All right, let's begin with the Zika scare, which we believe to be overblown as part of the globalist agenda.
Another problem, reaction, solution, false flag to provoke fear. So we will welcome the much stronger spraying of more poisonous insecticides upon us, since we know the globalists want to reduce the population drastically. Not to mention, they will soon have a vaccination to give us all, and the masses will line up for it. Most not knowing that Bill Gates has openly said we must reduce the population, and vaccinations are just one of the ways to do that. Now, you yourself can watch him say it on YouTube. Just search Bill Gates vaccinations, and about a dozen videos come up where he is discussing it, especially for sterilizations in third world countries.
Yes, indeed. These globalists are not hiding things anymore, you know, like they used to.
I know.
And they're saying, there it is.
Because they don't care. Mm-hmm. Knowing most people, and it's true, will just disregard it as a conspirator, and they'll never actually do their own research. People are in la-la land. It's so annoying. And it's the same for the gospel. They just call the Bible a fantasy book and never see for themselves. And now, law enforcement agents are knocking on the doors of private residencies in Miami, asking for urine samples, as a courtesy to test for the virus for them, which, by the way, has been around for 100 years, and it's really just the flu.
But, they collect a lot of behavioral data from your urine and how healthy you are.
Yes, and they can see how effective the chemicals they have already been using on us are working, like chemtrails, hello?
Mm-hmm. They already know these poisons are in our soul like aluminum and barium.
Yes, the soil is already testing for it. And believe it or not, they have not caught an actual mosquito that has had it. Only people that they say have the symptoms, or a few newborn babies with microcephaly, which many doctors in Argentina and Brazil have concluded that the Zika virus does not cause microcephaly in newborns. The truth tellers are saying it's a cover-up for the mega corporation Sumitomo Chemical, the more likely culprits behind the new cases of microcephaly in Brazil.
And as you said, to drum up a terrified market for the development of a new vaccine that we don't need.
But we'll make the pharmaceuticals billions of more dollars.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and it can be transferred sexually, so be sure to wear condoms. Of course, that will keep the population down, too.
Which is why they encourage abortions.
Even late term. Billions of unborn babies have been murdered in what should be a protected environment. It's mother's womb. By the way, Matthew 24 and Revelation 6 records plagues of pestilence. But we used to think it would just increase naturally. And until a few years ago, I never thought it would be from man. And actually, now I see that most of the plagues is concocted by demonized men. Even earthquakes and tsunamis. This is all part of the end time scenario, which is why we are talking about it. And you should be sharing this information with others, even if they don't want to accept it.
And, of course, as always, never forget who we're really fighting, as recorded in Ephesians 6.
Oh, it's so really true. Evil entities are not stupid, and demonic knowledge has always been here. Although spiritually stupid, the fallen angels stayed extremely knowledgeable, for we know God did not remove other intelligence at the fall. And their hybrid offspring, the giants, likely built the pyramids and all the megaliths in Peru and elsewhere.
Well, we'll probably leave that for another teaching, I would say.
Yes, we will. And thanks for keeping me on track, dear.
Okay. Well, how's Turkey doing since the failed coup?
Well, of course, they're much closer to Russia now since Putin told Erdogan about the intended coup.
I bet they are.
Which he is very sure the United States instigated, as I reported last month. Russia needs Turkey, for a rumor of a war is once again brewing in the Ukraine on the border of Crimea. And Russia announced the deployment there of the most advanced anti-missile weapons. Putin vowed to take all the necessary steps against clashes between its security forces and what he calls the Ukrainian bandits in North Crimea, which all know is controlled by the West since we aided in Ukraine's coup 2 years ago and replaced the Russian leader with our pick, Poroshenko, who is loyal to the West. And that's when Russia annexed, I guess is the better way to say it, Crimea. And it's looking like we want to take it back again from Russia, who will fight to keep it. Now, I understand there are some talks in the workings right now, so we'll just have to watch and see what happens.
You know, it's also reported that that Russia might be hiding nukes in Syria as well. Imagine that.
Yes, along with missiles, which is why they went into Syria to help them at their request to win that civil war, and they're doing quite well. But hiding nukes was part of the deal. They also have Russian warplanes over in Iran.
Talk about rumors of wars. Aren't we provoking China, too?
Yes. In the South China Sea, we've added more military ships and a nuclear bomber triad in the Pacific. Now, make no mistake. Both Russia and China are very sure that the U.S. and NATO puppets need to provoke a war. It kills people. And it's a huge moneymaker, just like the vaccines are. And then Washington could postpone the elections. Or another scenario is that Hillary fraudulently wins, but then something happens to her so that the Jesuit, new Vice President Tim Kaine, would become president. I don't know. Just a scenario. Hillary is loyal to these globalists, too. But they say her health is failing, as we have seen. So why is this mystery man that is following her all the time with an injector pen, probably containing drugs to kill Hillary's frequent dementia seizures?
Oh, that's interesting. So what's going on with Israel?
Okay, well, except for rumors of wars with Hezbollah and having to face the fact that they are looking at some very accurate missiles aimed at them, the local terrorism has decreased. Not totally gone, But Israel seems to be right now the safest place in that part of the world. Go figure that.
Yeah, that's amazing. All right, then. You can send your in-time question by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are really needed right now to remain on the air. And any donation will automatically put you on our mailing list for our monthly end-time news updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and informative newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Thank you, dear. By the way, I want to mention that we received a really nice letter last month from Boardman, Ohio, who said since he does not own a computer, he goes to the library to listen to our podcasts on their computer, and so then he can take notes. And really, saints, computers are a great way to study because you can pause and replay it. So if you don't have a computer, go to the library, who will even show you how to do it. Just give them my web address, shofarministries.net, and click on Radio Podcasts, and the list, each dated and named, pops up for you to choose what topic you want to listen to. And then be sure to share from your notes to help others grow in these last days. So thank you so much, because we often hear from those who disagree, but it's sure a blessing to hear from those that are learning and appreciate what we do here at Shofar Ministries. It's these lovely notes that just really encourages us to remain steadfast.
Ain't that the truth? All right. Remember, the first Friday of every month, Shofar Assembly meets for worship with an always timely Bible study, especially in the fall harvest season. So make an effort to join us at Chester Christian Center in Chesterton, Ohio, and also we'll be in Menor on September 22nd. Okay, any more newsy information before you get into the Jewish season called Teshuvah?
Teshuvah. Which, by the way, always precedes the still unfulfilled fall appointments of the Lord. But just as he fulfilled his spring appointments with his first coming, there is no doubt whatsoever that he will fulfill his last three appointments as well. And remember, James 5:7 does point to the grape harvest time in the fall for his return. Okay, one more piece of information I want to point out, and this is something you might want to pray about, is that Muslims, if they follow according to Sharia law, can only eat meat that has been slaughtered facing Mecca in the presence of an imam and who prays over the meat, and I guess it can be vegetables if you're a vegetarian, but they pray to Allah, offering the meat to him while recognizing Allah as the only God. It's called halal, H-A-L-A-L. And now many restaurants, especially in Michigan, have it on their menu. And even a McDonald's has it on their front sign saying, halal McNuggets. The problem with this is it's getting into American meat houses without being labeled as such, and only the Muslims that go to a mosque know which brands do it, like Butterball turkeys. However, they do say they no longer do that. But I point this out because it's amazing to see a scripture written 2,000 years ago that can still apply today. Although a few years ago, except maybe for occult rituals, I didn't think it could possibly be for today, but it sure does. And just another great reason to pray before we eat anything. Now that scripture is in Acts 15:29 and says that we should abstain from things offered to idols. And I know God doesn't hold things like that against us, especially when we don't know it. But nevertheless, I would never knowingly eat it. So let's pray that the efforts of activist Pamela Geller are recognized, where these foods are properly labeled as such, like they do with the kosher label. However, the Muslim VIPs don't want us to know and are fighting against the labeling. Of course, the establishment doesn't want to rustle their feathers, so we keep complying with the Sharia Muslims' wishes. It's amazing to watch. Okay, well, now let's begin our Hebraic Root Study 101 that I know will continue until next week as well. But the season of Teshuvah, which is Hebrew for repentance or a turning totally toward God, begins this year on September 3rd at sundown, which is named Elul 1 on God's calendar, and continues 40 days to Tishri 10, which is Yom Kippur, or Day of Atonement, which on our Gregorian calendar this year is on October 12th until sundown. Now, each day of Elul is, at least by the Orthodox, still heralded in with the blowing of the shofar. Then there is silence during the 7 days of Av, and ending on Yom Kippur, when the great shofar is blown, which is also an idiom for Yom Kippur, the great shofar. And I've taught on that there's three idioms for three feasts on the shofar. Okay, now what's revealing here is that we see in the Tanakh, or the Old Testament, that God particularly uses this season, just prior to what could be the resurrection some year, to warn his people of wrongdoing. For they believed it, too, that the resurrection was always a possibility to occur on the anniversary of the creation of man on Rosh Hashanah. This is written in their teaching tractate book on Rosh Hashanah, and the strict Orthodox still believe that, but others have gotten away from their basic Hebraic roots. In fact, Jews today who do receive the Messiah admit they have to learn their roots taught in the first century, because the teachings have changed, especially since the Dark Ages and the newly reformed teachings. Some saved Jews do not learn their roots and still teach what their recent ancestors taught them instead, which is often perplexing to Gentile believers because there's conflicting teachings by saved Jews, and they're just popping up, causing lots of confusion. I myself have only studied the Hebrew teachings from the first or second century. As in, I'll give you an example here. They did not wear yarmulkes. That's a Middle Age teaching. And guess what? And this is true too. It holds true with Christians. After Constantine defiled the church with the leaven of paganism, we too must go back and learn our roots, which, hello, it's Judaism. But now under a new covenant, praise the Lord, which is why I enjoy teaching it. But this is important. It must be taught in a balanced way, omitting any legalism. As with the spring feasts that Jesus fulfilled, he also fulfilled the Sabbath. So every day is the Sabbath to us because he dwells in us. It's been fulfilled. And he celebrated Hanukkah in John chapter 10, and he also honored Teshuvah by fasting 40 days in the wilderness, and was immediately then tempted by Satan, who, by the way, offered him the world right then and there. Obviously, Satan does rule the world for now, which is why evil happens and is increasing as Scripture prophesied it would, especially just before his return. Now, here's another gold nugget. By doing scrupulous math through Scripture using the Hebrew calendar, Moses went up on the mountain a second time for 40 days during what would later be understood as Teshuvah. Remember, Teshuvah is a time for repentance, and Moses was repenting for the golden calf incident, coming down the mountain on the Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur, with the new set of tablets. People, Jesus comes back with his new covenant on a Yom Kippur too. Moses is a prototype of Jesus and how we learn things. You see, as with the spring feasts, the fall feasts have an historical application as well. Pretty amazing to connect the dots on all this. And that's why I have this passion for you, his bride, to know it too. There's no way I can hide the light of this knowledge under a basket. And this knowledge shows that God is a date setter, and all the important dates are already fixed. I promise you that. I hope that this week you can read Haggai chapter 1. Because when you do, you'll see that it begins by making sure the reader knows it is Elul 1 by saying that it was the first day of the sixth month. So by looking at the Hebrew calendar, you can know it was the first day of their season of Teshuvah, which means turning more toward God. Now they knew of him, but were not moving toward him. And so we see God purposely using this time of the year to rebuke them. And he still does it today. You know, if you do research, you know, on all the calamities around the month of September, you will see how often unpleasant events occur, as in 9/11. We can also see in the book of Haggai that God not only rebuked the Hebrews for the neglect in building God's temple, but even more than that, we see within the context of Scripture some details about the condition of their hearts, the cares of life being front and center instead of God's word. Whoa, does that apply today? Laodicean lazy Christians, not socially, of course, but the condition of their hearts lacking passion to know Jesus more through his word. So God says to them in verse 5, and then repeats it again in verse 7, he says, consider your ways. You know, their houses were well done, but not God's house. In fact, all aspects of their lives were very adequate. So God says twice that they better consider their ways, meaning to turn around and get busy in doing what God requires, or he will withhold the rain. That's verse 11. Wow, I think of California's droughts and all the fires and the poor farmers paying hefty fines if they disobey the new water rules, as well as all the money it costs to pay the pollinators because the bees are scarce. Interesting that during the diaspora, Israel's land received little rain, not much growth of anything, like Jesus said when he cursed the fig tree, which is a symbol for Israel. But as soon as the Jews began returning back to their land, the rains came, and now it is a leading export of fruits and vegetables. The fig tree is blossoming again, and that is the number one sign that we are that generation to see his return. He said it, and I believe it. Okay, well, we will continue next week on the season of repentance. But how about you? Is it time to repent and get passionate for Jesus? Maybe you have never really made him Lord over your life or even accepted his free gift of salvation. Don't wait any longer. Precious one, am I speaking to you? Remember, Christ died for you. He went through hell for you. And he stands at the door of your heart and knocks, saying, if any man hear my voice and opens this door, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. He's knocking right now, but he won't crash the door down. It's your move. You can be the beneficiary of a love story that was written in blood on a wooden cross erected in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. And now I must leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 622. Yivrekka Adonai v'yishmerekka, Ya'er Adonai panav eleka v'yuneka, Yasei Adonai panav eleka v'yasem l'ha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper in all ways. Psalm 122:6. So, saints, keep looking up. And if he doesn't return before, I'll see you next week. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.